venerable sisters, and dear parishioners, the Holy Mother Church has been preparing us for some 2 weeks already for Lent. And we heard on Septuagesima the need for chastising ourselves because St. Paul, the great St. Paul, recognized the need to fast, to impose penance upon himself, to give up things. And last Sunday in the epistle of St. Paul, when he cried out in prayer that God would take away the sting of the flesh or the thorn of the flesh, we see an example of extra prayer that we should be doing during Lent. And today, we have the exhortation to charity, the blueprint for charity. You might also call it an examination of conscience. You might call it a litmus test. How much charity do I have? Is a question we should all ask ourselves. And as we go through today's epistle, we'll see where we need to do better, where we can improve. And during Lent, we need to do extra almsgiving, extra giving of what we have to others, helping the poor and the needy. So there's our Lenten program in general parameters set out for us by Holy Mother the Church. Again, as the wise mother, she prepares her children for the Holy Lenten season. We just don't go from a day of celebration right into Lent or from a joyous season right into Lent. No, the church is preparing us. Every teacher, every coach prepares. Parents, of course, most especially, prepare their children for things that their children need to do. So our mother, the church, has been doing that for us. So as we reflect upon this epistle of charity, we must always remember, and I think it, because of the age we live in, we need to emphasize it all the more, to love the sinner, but never the sin. And that is going to be false charity, absolutely, if there's an expectation that somehow we should accept sin as okay, or worse yet, sin is even being made out to be something good. Sin is evil. Sin hurts the sinner. Sin hurts God. And in true charity, we have to oppose sin in ourselves, first of all, but also because we love others, to oppose sin in them too. Doesn't mean we're, you know, getting on the soapbox all the time, and you know, we'll always have plenty of things to point at ourselves individually. But again, in our modern world, the tendency to say you need to accept sin. We will never accept sin. It's bad for the sinner. How can I say I love somebody if I approve of something that will hurt him in body or soul, and worst of all, will lead him to hell? How is that love? It can't be love. Love always has to be in the framework of we want to get to heaven. And we got to do whatever it takes to get there. And that means being faithful to God and to his holy law. There's another aspect of charity that I would like to speak about today, and that is how it ties in with penance, since we are about to begin this penitential season of Lent on Wednesday. And what I would like to demonstrate is that when we do penance, we are loving God, we are loving our neighbor, and we are also loving ourselves. How do we love God by doing penance? Well, we love God when we offer sacrifices because we're making up for our sins. Have we not hurt somebody in life? And the more we love that person that we hurt, the more we try to do to make up for that. It's the same thing with God. When God sees us fasting, when he sees us giving up lawful pleasures that we like to do, and we say, "Dear God, I'm trying to make up for my sins." Do we not see most clearly that's loving God, and that's how the Heavenly Father takes it? So, penance is love of God. We want to make up for all the times we have offended God. And of course, the worst way is through mortal sin, but think of all the venial sins too that we have committed. We need to make up for those. Those hurt God. Those offended God. And especially during Lent, as we do Stations of the Cross, and I cannot recommend this highly enough, my dear brethren, remember you get a plenary indulgence. All of your purgatory time is wiped away when you devoutly meditate on the sufferings of our Lord. That's the indulgence the church gives to us when we do the Stations of the Cross. And when we look at that, we see the cost of our sins to our Lord. We see how he was, it doesn't even include everything. It doesn't show his scourging, his crowning with thorns. But that happened, and then he begins this painful way, and then he's nailed to the cross. Our sins did that. And when we offer up penance and sacrifice, we are saying to Jesus, "I love you. Thank you for what you did for me. Let me try to make up for that." When we do penance, my dear brethren, we also love our neighbor, because it draws down graces on others. And you look at the lives of the saints and how much they sacrificed and offered up things for the conversion of sinners. Is that not love? And when we make that intention, we have something difficult to go through, I offer this up, I offer this as a sacrifice, I offer this as a penance for the conversion of sinners. I offer up the penance of my daily duty, the carrying of my cross. I offer this up for sinners, for others. Is that not love? Is that not charity? Of course it is. So besides loving God, we can also love our neighbor. Prayer and sacrifice. This is part of the Fatima message. You can see the little children of Fatima offering up these sacrifices for sinners. It does do good. It doesn't go to waste. I guess that's the mistake we sometimes make. We think that it's a waste, it's a loss when we have these tough times or these difficult situations. But they're not. They can be converted into something charitable and loving for souls. And then finally, we love ourselves by doing penance. My dear brethren, we don't really do ourselves favors if we pamper ourselves, because that's not going to give us merit in heaven. So if we think of, where do I want to be in heaven? How great of a reward do I want? Well, the more sacrifice we offer up, the higher a place we will have in heaven. Is that not loving ourselves? I was trying to find in St. Alphonsus Liguori's writings, and I didn't succeed, but there is this dialogue he has going on between the soul and the body. And I don't think I found it. I found a very shortened version of it, but it gets across the idea that true love of ourselves means disciplining ourselves, reaching our spiritual potential. So I'll just like to read this extract. As I said, it's not the exact one I wanted. It's from his book, Preparation for Death. And he's talking about what it will be like at the end of the world. "Oh, how great will be the difference between the bodies of the just and the bodies of the damned. The just will appear whiter, more beautiful, and more resplendent than the sun. Happy he who knows how to mortify his flesh and his life by refusing it forbidden pleasures, and who, to keep it under greater check, imitates the saints by denying it lawful gratifications and by treating it with severity and contempt. Oh, how great will be the happiness of those who will have practiced mortification of the flesh. We may estimate it from the words which St. Peter of Alcantara addressed after death to St. Teresa, O happy penance which merited for me so great glory. But on the other hand, the bodies of the reprobate will appear black and hideous and will send forth an intolerable stench. Oh, how great the pain of the damned in taking possession of their bodies. Accursed body, the soul will say, to indulge you, I have brought myself to perdition. And the body will say, accursed soul, why have you, who had the use of reason, allowed me the pleasures which have merited for you and me the eternal torments of hell? So as we can see, it is true love of ourselves to make up for our sins in this life and to not bring ourselves to the loss of our souls. That is the greatest lack of charity there could be for ourselves, to not save our souls, not to do what it takes to persevere in the grace of God. We don't want this dialogue going on after we die between our soul and body, the soul saying, you wanted all these pleasures, and the body will say, well, why did you give in to me? But the bodies of the saints will say to their souls, thank you. It wasn't easy, but in light of eternity and the eternal reward, thank you for what you did. And now we will both enjoy this eternal reward. So let us begin Lent with a good spirit, my dear brethren. We really need it. We need to plow the field, and it's hard work. It's difficult, it's painful, but without that plowing, without that harrowing, without that fertilizing, we can't get a good harvest, and we're not going to be doing any favors for ourselves. So let's do it with a good spirit. Let's get more spiritual. Let's not be giving into the body, into temporalities and worldly things, especially during Lent. Time to get really spiritual and focus on what matters the most. May you have a grace-filled Lenten observance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.